guess what, Comedy Film Nerd fans? It is that time of year again.
To Christmas?
Yeah.
It's our Christmas.
It is. It's film nerd Christmas. We're here with Doug Benson to do our annual Oscar preview. Get your Oscar pools, your office.
Ballots, everything. Whatever. Get it ready.
Get your greasy little fingers on some sort of writing utensil.
How many times have we done this now, you think?
It's like 70 at least.
What?
70 that we've done?
There's only 85 Academy Awards. This is the 86th, wow. I think.
So 60 years before podcasting was invented.
Yes, we've been doing it. Yeah.
I guess we probably did run into each other on the circuit and discuss the nominations, but we didn't have a platform like this.
I saw on Facebook from 4 years ago, but I think we've been doing this.
I don't know.
We've been doing
The podcast? About 8 years?
Seven.
Yeah, so we've probably been doing it about 5 or 6 years.
Definitely, yeah.
If we didn't do it that first year, we did it the second.
Right.
Is there any, do we know who's best at this as far as prognostication goes? Is any one of us the...
Hey, fans. here's a project.
Yeah, you guys keep the best score. I think it goes around.
Yeah, probably.
We've each won a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we always, we kind of agree on a lot of stuff anyway, but it's those little differences and then also years where there's just a lot of surprises, which, you know, seems to be happening less and less.
There's less surprises. I think usually one guy will go rogue on something and that either makes or breaks his...
Right, the pool.
Like, we're all kind of sort of similar and then one guy just goes, nope, I'm going with this one. And if that thing doesn't pull...
Suck it.
Yeah, suck it. So...
All right, so we're going would win and should win.
Would and should, ladies and gentlemen.
Would and should. The old would and should. My dad used to take me out to the wood and should to punish me.
I used to eat at the wood and should when I was a kid.
Oh, they had great Mojo potatoes.
Oh, God. Remember their scrambles?
You get to throw the peanut shells right on the floor.
Oh, it was great. I would get a peanut shell omelet. So fantastic.
Wow, this is a yes and party.
Okay, we need a place you'd go on vacation. Folks, before we get into it, this is episode 358. This is the Comedy Film Nerds podcast. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini.
That is the lovely dulcet tones of Doug Benson from the Doug Loves Movies podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
It doesn't get more dulcet than my tones.
Real quick, Earbuds is for sale at comedyfilmnerds.com. Doug Benson is in it.
Yes, I am, so you got to watch it.
One of the Kickstarter backers.
Yes.
So if you want him to get his money back,
then
I suggest.
Yeah, come on. Make the EP happy.
Come on, you guys. I need my money back.
Seriously. Do it for Doug.
We are also in the middle of negotiating a distribution deal, so it will be available on other platforms,
yes.
But we don't know exactly when. So cut the bullshit and go to comedyfilmnerds.com.
Yes.
Download started at $7.99.
Yep, and we've seen an uptick in sales for sure, because we had some great reviews on Film Threat. Graham and I have been on other podcasts, and also Graham has been audience shaming you guys into buying more, and I don't care which one of those is working.
Yeah.
We're happy with the results.
Whatever works. So if that is the one that's working, there's still tens of thousands of you that haven't bought this. So
start buying hard copies, because there's a thing called stocking stuffers, and you're going to need them.
Yeah.
In 10 months.
Yeah. We'd like to thank...
It is the great thing. Yeah. You just buy five of these and just let them sit in a pile.
That's why we want to thank Karen for buying 20.
Yeah, there was Karen. Because I've done that when I travel. Like, I'll just see, like, I'm in Australia. I'm going to just get 6 Tim Tams, and then someone's going to get that 5 months from now, and they'll taste fine.
Yeah, and then two of them we eat. Yeah, while we're on the airport. Yeah.
Or at the very least, you'll have trouble getting back into the country.
Yeah,
because
of all the
Tim
Tams. You seem like you're some sort of shifty Tim Tam distributor.
I'm
Sir,
a Tim
Tam. Why did you need every flavor?
I've been.
Are these filled with cocaine?
Yes.
Well, I'm a Tim Tam mule.
Yeah.
I've been muling Tim Tams for a while. Speaking of Tim Tam mules,
Tim
let's
Tam,
get...
thank you, ma'am.
Folks, here's what we every year where each one of us is we're going to go through the five nominees. And we're going to give our will win and what we think should win. Sometimes they're the same. Sometimes they're different.
As part of Doug Loves Minis, I've put out a challenge to all the listeners to that podcast where it's called the DLM Oscar Challenge, hashtag DLM Oscar Challenge. And there's about 62 different films of varying lengths that are nominated, from, you know, 15 minutes to 8 hours. How long's the OJ thing? Yeah. So I put out the challenge, see if anybody can see all of it. And I certainly will not succeed.
No.
But I'm, you know, I've seen more this year than I think I ever have.
And sometimes you're stopped by old distribution models who won't allow you to see them in time.
Right. They're just there's that one theater in the middle of nowhere or something that you can't get it.
Or, oh, this should be on demand so I could watch it before the Oscars. Oh, it isn't.
But some of the people are doing pretty well at that. And if you're listening and you haven't hashtagged it and notified me, let me know how you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I'll update it all the way up until... until they start giving out the gold.
Wow.
Are you doing some red carpet work this year? Is that, did he hire you? Holy shit.
I'm, you know, I'm nothing but a promotion machine for Ampus.
All right, guys, let's start. Animated feature film. The nominees are Kubo and the Two Strings, Moana, My Life as a Zucchini, The Red Turtle, Zootopia.
Strong category this year.
Strong category. Mm-hmm.
Some definitely really good animated films. I'm going to go with Kubo and the Two Strings for sure. Will and should win. I thought that movie was amazing. Interesting. Finding Dory not here. So it's a little.
Well,
little,
Doug,
little
you had a theory on why the Finding Dory wasn't nominated.
Because it's a stinking sequel. I didn't even go see it. Did you see it, Chris?
I did see it. Yeah.
And.
It was good. You know, it was, you know, Pixar has a certain level of quality that they most of the time hit. Was it as good as the first one? No, but it was still. It was,
I mean,
it
how
was
much
good.
Can you take of a fish that can't remember what happened 3 seconds ago?
Ugh, it's not too much.
You know what? It's,
I mean, it was a good amount in the first one.
Yeah.
But to make the next movie all about.
It expands a little bit more.
Fish.
But here's the thing. I mean, you know, Nemo and Marlin are in it a fair amount. And
that's
so,
good.
So it's not.
I
really
love Albert Brooks'
our,
voice as a cartoon
but
character.
But to me, it's also like you look at these five films nominated, they're all very interesting and different. And then why would you just go with the sequel of something we've already
right.
seen?
I mean, Zootopia was fantastic. You know, Moana really liked. And now I've been saying on the podcast before, I've been trying to find The Red Turtle. It's been really hard to find. It's like one. Movie theater in Los Angeles playing it like, you know, mm-hmm. one or two screenings. And this is a great example of if these movies were on demand before the Oscars, so many people would buy them. I would totally be watching this on demand.
The studios should really pay attention to that. Like, and just put these, like, and have an Oscar-nominated on-demand category.
It's a marketing
tool.
Yeah,
because four of these are not going to win, and three of them are you know, smaller. You know, they're not from Pixar, you know, mm-hmm. and Disney. So they should really make all the effort. Like, I see billboards around L.A. for Kubo and the Two Strings, so those are trying to remind the Academy voters.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But my, for me, Kubo and the Two Strings was beautiful to look at, but I thought that the voice casting wasn't that great. I didn't think Charlize Theron as a monkey, whatever kind of monkey that was supposed to be. I just wasn't feeling it. Like, I just couldn't get into it in the same way that I got into Zootopia. I think Zootopia is the one that the most Academy members will have seen. The one with the most just overall buzz. It was the biggest hit of all of them. Mm-hmm. And I just think that that's just an easy thing for them to mark.
So you're going to...
I'm going will win and should win. Would, should.
Okay.
I'm going to split them. My should win is Kubo and the Two Strings. I just loved it. I loved the story. I loved the whole...
Yeah, well, you're into the martial arts aspect of
I'm
it.
I'm a martial arts weirdo, so I like that.
And I like the fantasy dark aspect of it, so I loved it.
I didn't mind a Charlize Theron monkey.
Monkey voice.
I just... I didn't... You know what I mean? Like, was Pat Morita busy?
What if the answer was yes?
But my will win, in my opinion, is Moana, just because of it got such, it did well. It had a lot of, I think the girl power theme of it is going to resonate more with Academy members. That's my guess.
It's a very tough category. I saw you at the theaters the other night at the animated short films, Graham.
Yes, sir.
And so do you see the trailer for My Life as a Zucchini before those?
Yeah.
And would you want to sit through that entire motion picture after seeing that trailer?
Wow.
I was good.
Yeah.
I was like, I saw enough of that. It's got a very interesting look. But mm-hmm.
It's also very short. I think it's only like 60 some minutes. Oh, it's okay. Like barely a feature.
It's what's it got to be a feature? 70 maybe?
I don't know. It's like it's a
it
weird
was,
like
I thought it was 80 or 80.
So did I, but I thought animation there might be a different rule.
Maybe. They might let him go a little shorter.
My Life is a Zucchini. Exactly. I saw the trailer and I was like, "Well, this looks interesting, but then it seems like it would be too much after a while." Versus, and not that an animated movie can't be too dark or too heavy. That doesn't have to be exclusively kid themed, but this one seems, I don't know.
So yeah, so for your Oscar pools on animated feature film, you're on your own. We cannot agree on this one. It really does. Yeah. I think My Life is a Zucchini or Red Turtle would be a big surprise.
70 minutes.
70 minutes.
Yeah, but that's like the exact minimum. Okay. It's like, all right, make the credits longer.
Yeah, have a couple songs over the credits and list people that might come see it. Thanks for coming. You look for your name.
All right. Animated short film. Now, Doug, you and I both saw this at the exact same time, unbeknownst to us, at the wonderful New Art, which...
They're running these short films for animated and for the live action for, I think, another week or so.
Right.
2 weeks total. So, and it was a nice turnout there. Some idiots brought children.
There were people behind us.
Because even the ones that are kid safe are just weird. They're not necessarily for kids.
Yeah.
I think one out of the five is something that children should appreciate.
Yeah, Piper, because it was a Pixar one.
Yeah, right. And it was before.
It was cute.
They showed it before Moana, I believe.
Yeah.
I think that was
it. It was attached to Moana.
Yeah. So there was the movies were Piper, Pearl, Pear Cider and Cigarettes, Borrow Time, and Blind Vasha. Vasha.
They said it a bunch of times in the and I can't remember how they pronounce it. Vaisha? I think it was like Vaisha.
Vaisha.
The superhero / Indian god?
No.
No, okay.
Wait.
I'm thinking of a different one. The one that was in front of Finding Dory.
Vaisha was some sort of... Oh, no. The Piper's the only Pixar one.
Okay.
So whatever was before Finding Dory was not nominated. Pearl is a kind of a cute look at a father-daughter situation and colorful animation, but not the animation didn't appeal to me really.
Yeah, it was Pearl was interesting and it was sort of it was like you say it was nice father-daughter and it all surrounds this car that they kind of grew up in and how the life interacts within the car. So that was cute, but it wasn't like they were all good. There was nothing on the on these nominees that I went, what is this doing here?
Which was the most kid unfriendly?
Well, Pear Cider and Cigarettes, they warn the crowd twice, get your kids out of the room, and they play it last in the program.
Mm-hmm.
And last year they did that, or maybe the year before, but one year it was for a movie where it was two naked guys with swords just beating the crap out of each other. That was last year. It was super violent, and both men were naked the entire time, so their dongs are swinging around. So I get telling the kids to get out of there.
Right.
But Pear Cider and Cigarettes has like a reference to pussy. You see like a lady's bush at one point very quickly. But the way it's animated and I just don't imagine a kid even caring about it enough to sit through it and pay attention. So it's kind of weird that they made a big deal like get out of there. I even have the listing. It said a film contains violence, sex, drugs, and rock and roll and is not recommended for children. Oh, that's fun. You throw in rock and roll. Kids can't hear rock and roll.
Now,
but,
as an adult, I want to see that.
Well, this one is 35 minutes.
It's 35 goddamn minutes.
Wow.
And they even tell you before it starts how long it is. And I was sitting there the whole time going, when is this going to end?
That's half a zucchini.
But the animation on that one is beautiful. Like, really cool looking.
It's this cool layer. They do really cool, this sort of layered style where it's, you know, like there's a scene where he's like skateboarding on a street and then... the stars, it's at night, and it's these very cool layered, stylized. The voice actor that they cast, I thought did a great job because it's all about this guy Techno, who is a problem guy.
I just couldn't stand that the character that he keeps speaking about is named Techno, and he says Techno like at least 50 times. And, every time I'm like, why is he called Techno? It's just some old drunk, you know, like, why is he called Techno? But but other than that, the animation did look really cool, and... you were telling me an interesting theory, or maybe fact, Chris, before we started recording, that the longest short usually wins?
For live action.
Not for animated.
No.
Animated, it doesn't matter how long it is.
Yeah, the thing about live action shorts is it's generally the longer ones tend to get the Academy's attention, and the ones that generally win are the longer live action.
Because all the live action shorts are practically the same length. One is half the length of them, but they're all around 30 minutes. So that'll be interesting. But before we get to that, Blind Vasha is kind of a parable thing, and the animation was, I don't want to say messy, but it was like a lot of lines. And it was almost like watching paintings come to life.
Yeah, it was like deliberate. It was that sort of like
Picasso-ish a little bit.
Yeah, Picasso charcoal drawing kind of come to life.
And it was really makes you think, because it was about a woman who was born with one eye sees the past and one eye sees the future.
Oh, cool.
And so she's like, can't ever see the moment that she's in.
Yeah, it's definitely like a thing that all humans get caught up in as we stress over the past and whatever, worry about the future. And
yeah, and then there's just a bunch of scenarios that are really, really creepy. It's like her vision is that she's just watching the very middle of Benjamin Button. And then Borrowed Time is like a complete bummer. They should have showed that movie. They should have attached that to screenings of Up, because it's about as sad and depressing as
the first
5 minutes of Up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, another reason why you shouldn't have kids. That one's more upsetting to kids than the pair.
For sure.
Pair of cider and cigarettes.
The guy kills his dad. It's...
Spoiler!
Yeah.
I mean, can you spoil something when it's only 5 minutes long or 8 minutes long?
You're going to be able to see it.
And you probably won't see it.
So what were you, what was your, what's
so your... The bottom line is that this thing Piper is a cute little baby, seabird that learns how to feed
crap.
Itself. Yeah, on the beach. And it's just the animation, like Pixar... It's like Pixar is just showing off at this point, because the water and the feathers on the bird and all of it is just the animation's
technologically
amazing.
It's an advancement.
It's just amazing, and it's short and it's cute. So I just give it the would and the should.
Right,
Piper. Even though I'd rather see some more independent things get in there and win than something that Pixar made.
I was thinking, too, of like Sanjay Super Team. I think that was with Good Dinosaur, but that was like a year before. Mm-hmm.
I wonder how often Pixar wins when they're in the race for these.
As far as shorts go?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. They're usually nominated every year.
I'm going with Pear Cider and Cigarettes just because... I love the style of it. I love the voice casting. It stood out. It stood out from everything else that we saw, even the bonus ones, because these five don't add up to 90 minutes. So they put in a couple bonus ones that were interesting.
Like previous winners or previous years.
They didn't say whether they won or not, but they were just like, here's some other good ones. Right. And I got to say, the animated shorts program in general, it flew by, but I didn't love any of them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I was much more into the live action shorts because I saw those in one sitting. So I spent about
4 hours
pushing 4 hours watching all the shorts.
Dude.
Yeah, and I saw Graham after the animated ones. I was like, "You gonna stay and see the live action?" He was like,
So
2 hours and 20 minutes of short films. I don't know.
Well, I will say I did see Piper. I liked it. Everything you said, I agree with. It looks beautiful. It's cute. It's fun. But I don't know. I think Pear Cider and Cigarettes just sounds more like it was more interesting. So this is a pure speculation on my part, but I'm going to go with Pear Cider and Cigarettes.
As your would
as
and
would
should?
And should.
Will and should?
Mm-hmm.
Should will?
Mm-hmm. Will and should, yeah.
All right. Live action short, we have Enemies Interiores. Weird name.
Which means Enemies Within.
Enemies Within. La Femme et la TGV, which means...
It means Women at HGTV.
Yeah, Norman Garden TV.
TGV is the name of a train line
and
wherever that takes place.
Silent Nights, Sing.
France.
And Time Code.
Oh, yeah, and Silent Nights is from Denmark, and... Sing is from Hungary, and Time Code is from Spain. Time Code is easily the most easily digestible because it's only 15 minutes long and it's got a really cute premise. A lady night guard starts seeing on the on her monitor when she looks at periods of time when she wasn't there. The other guard goes into the parking lot and different spots where the cameras are set up and just dances around, like just very, very fluid dancing. And then, you know, what happens after that is, you know, how she responds to that. And it's called Time Code because they leave messages for each other, like, look at this screen at this time to see what I left cool. you. Yeah. And so it's pretty cool, and it's only 15 minutes long, and it's light, and it's fun. The three out of the other four are, like, I don't want to say bummers. But just to give you a brief idea what they're each about, the Enemies Within is just basically, like, one long interrogation of a man who wants to live in France by a French interrogator, and it's pretty timely considering the immigrant situation going on in the world.
Oh, is he like a refugee from Syria or something like that?
Or is he a terrorist?
He's lived there his whole life, but he's from I want to say Algeria.
Oh.
And so they're he wants to apply for citizenship, but they're like suspect, like, why do you want to be a citizen now, you know, when you already live here, you already speak French. You know, and then they start talking to him about, have you been to a mosque, and who did you talk to at the mosque? And it gets pretty intense, and it's well done. And then the TGV one is about a lady who just sticks her head out the window and waves at the same train every day, and then the conductor reaches out to her he throws a letter out the window of the train saying how much he likes seeing her out there every day. And she's old and kind of a curmudgeonly lady, so she gets very excited about having this new friend who's a train conductor who drives by all the time. And it's the actress that plays it is she's an older lady. Her name's Jane Birkin, and she was a James Bond girl in For Your Eyes Only.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And was married to and had a kid with John Barry, the guy who wrote the music for most of the James Bond movies. but that was interesting to find out after I watched it. While I was watching, I was like, this must be like some famous French actress, and I'm just not sure. And then when her name came up, I was like, oh yeah, I've heard of her. Silent Nights is another one that's got an immigration kind of slant to it. It's about a, where are they? They're in Denmark, and this white woman works at a soup kitchen. And she meets a black immigrant and falls in love with him. And it's about their relationship and him trying to send money home to his family. And probably the most emotional of them in terms of, like, how you feel at the end of it. And with the immigration angle, I just think that Silent Nights is the one to beat. But my favorite is Sing. And that is about, it's from Hungary, and it's about a kids' choir where there's a new girl at the school, and the choir teacher, they got a big competition coming up, and the choir teacher takes the girl aside and says, "You're not good enough for our choir. You're new, and we'll work you into it. But for now, just lip sync the songs, don't sing out loud." And it rocks the girl's world because she thinks she can sing and she wants to sing and she's bummed out about it. And and the result, what happens, you know, the solution to the situation is really great.
So your should is Silent Nights and your will is Sing, or vice versa?
My will is Silent Nights and my should is Sing. I really like Sing a lot, but, you know, it's because it ends up being very sweet, whereas everything else is, you know. And Time Code is also very charming. So I have no idea how the Academy members, like, they're five very different things.
Right.
How do you decide which one's the best, you know, especially when who's going to the trouble of seeing all five? I wanted to jump up at the Noir and go, who here's going to actually vote? You know, who are there Academy members here? Or are we all just people that want to do good in the Oscar pool?
I'm going to go, just based on what you said, I'm going to go should and will, Enemy Within.
Yeah, I really think it could go that way because it's really interesting.
Chris?
I'm going to go will Enemy Within, but should Time Code. Mm. I really like the premise of that one.
Cool.
All right. Chris Mancini going out on a wire, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're going to go to...
Only with the should.
Yeah. Film editing. The movies are Arrival, Hell or High Water, Hacksaw Ridge, La La Land, and Moonlight.
This is always an interesting category because, you know, long, boring movies somehow get in there. Like, the first thing the editor should do is make sure it's not long and boring, in my opinion. No, these are all, I haven't, Hacksaw Ridge is the only one I haven't seen.
I to me, it's like, I've seen all of these except Moonlight, and Hacksaw Ridge is decent. I think sometimes the editing gets... The action movie sometimes gets the edit thing just because they, the Academy members are like, oh, quick cutting. That gets it. That's what good editing is. Whereas...
yeah, that's a good point, but it's interesting that there's really only one, you know, real action movie of the five, and I just feel like... I feel like editors nominated these five, but the whole Academy is not over Mel Gibson. Like, I don't think they give him anything.
Even I'm surprised he
nominations is surprising.
I know. I was I was shocked.
But that's because just actors can look at Andrew Garfield and go, that guy's amazing.
Right.
And just editors can look at the editing.
Right.
You know, but, and then of course, it did get the best picture nomination.
That blew me away.
That's pretty surprising. So,
yeah.
So that's certainly a possibility, but I just feel like in this case, and I you know, I'm an unapologetic La La Land lover, so I just think based on the fact that it got so many nominations and is probably going to win so many things, I think it's going to fall under the... I think it's just going to get caught up in the in people's ballots of just going down the line and... And even though La La Land, one thing against it for editing is how many long takes they do in it.
Right.
But then that's also a choice to go, you know, that the editor has to decide if, well, maybe we should have,
especially,
you know,
when you're doing
use the coverage.
A musical, then you have rhythmic editing, you have different types of editing that you're using. I think La La Land is a should and will. You know, the other movies are... all decently edited for sure, but I can't say out of
Arrival is so leisurely paced.
Yeah,
though,
I can't see why the editing really stands out for me in any of these movies.
It
doesn't. Really.
I mean, like Hell or High Water. To me, Hell or High Water is a fantastic acting movie, and it's a really well written movie. But there isn't any sort of like edits in there. It's a well put together film. I'm glad it's getting a Best Picture nomination, but like I agree. I think La La Land, the magic of it, part of the magic of it is the editing.
Well, the structure. The structure. You know, yep. And you know, you just don't. You got to assume most of the structure was in the script or the director had it intended. Mm-hmm. But it's still the way the two stories come together at the beginning is great, and then the ending with the going back and, you know, taking the turn you didn't take and seeing all the...
It is editing timing, too.
Yeah, it really is.
I agree. I think the editor enhanced the story and what was shot with the editing. So we're all going a will and
should. And would.
This
for...
will be the start of La La Land's sweep. Yeah. We just don't know how far it'll go or how long it'll last, because usually what happens is movies like that start to sweep, and then they, as we get to the bigger awards, they start to peter off.
Yeah. Well, let's get
in. Well, it's, you know, they're boned in the acting categories because there was no supporting performances. Right. Every supporting character was lucky to have more than one scene.
Right.
Costume design. Mary Zofries, Murray Valeriano's wife. La La Land, Madeline Fontaine for Jackie. Consolata Boyle and Florence Foster Jenkins. Colleen Atwood, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Joanna Johnson and Allied. I'm not just saying this because... I know Mary and Murray, and they're cool, and I've been to their house. I think this is, as you guys just said, this is a part of the La La Land sweep. I think we'll get further in what my thoughts, why it's not going to win the bigger ones, but I think this is the first time Mary Zofries wins this, because in other categories, she was nominated for True Grit. And I think in the past, it's sort of been period piece, and usually the like Colleen Atwood wins or somebody like that wins for big, big costumes, big designs. And I think this year, I think La La Land is so stylized and that she's going to actually win. Allied is like, it's World War II garb. Like, I don't.
Well, you know, period films are always like, this is strangely doesn't have like the typical period film
right.
In the top five, but it also, it's just,
there's no woman in Victorian gowns movie here.
Right.
Also, but these, it's La La Land and then four movies that got very little action in other categories.
Right.
You know, so it's very costume specific. And I just think that the membership, everyone that's a member of the Academy's seen La La Land.
Yes.
But these other four movies, there's going to be people that skip them for one reason or another. Yes. And you could go, you know, Jackie's great because Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis mm-hmm. was, you know, a fashion plate. And, you know, and so her outfits are obviously, it's important to get those right. But I don't get the Florence Foster Jenkins, a bunch of dudes in tuxedos, and yeah. Meryl Streep has dumb outfits. And
I will say this. I'm probably the only one.
I hope to sing.
I'm a singer.
Did you see Fantastic Beasts?
I did.
Oh, okay. Oh, you did see it. Okay.
So, you know, the costumes are great, but, you know, and it is a period thing.
Here's why I think that that one might win, is because when you have Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, it's a double costume challenge, because not only are you having period pieces and period costumes, they're hyper-realized, and then you add a magic element into it. So you have to have period pieces, but also wizards. And you have everything from the production design to the costume designs there. So I think that's one of the reasons it got nominated, and I think that's also why it might win.
I think that's all compelling evidence. Plus, you have Colleen Atwood. She just always wins. But I think this is the year, and I agree with Doug on this one,
mm-hmm.
not enough of the Academy members saw the movie, saw Fantastic Beasts.
Right.
And of them, who did he even speak to? Because I found it to be more of a children's movie than any Harry Potter movie.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I
it
think
just is a really tame.
There were parts where it definitely had a tonal
like
problem.
Like Dan Fogler ends up being the emotional center of it. Yeah. And he's the comic relief.
Well, what you have, like, you could tell there was definitely a tonal problem with it, because you have those scenes that were, oh, well, that's just for kids. Like when he's doing like a mating dance with it. But then you have these creepy execution scenes of how wizards execute people. I'm like, some of it was a little creepy.
Yeah, it's definitely got a creepiness to it, but it's also weird that it feels like a kids movie and there are no kids in it.
Right.
Like, there's no big parts for kids.
It was,
it's
you
all
know,
adults.
It was definitely, like, uneven, but it was pretty to look at, for sure.
So, Chris, then, your Will and Should is Fantastic Beasts.
It is.
I'm going Will and Should for La La Land.
All right. Doug and I are on the La La Land train. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome, Murray.
Who will be there.
That's neat.
And then, just so we know, Murray is our scheduled guest for after the Oscars.
Oh, nice.
So we'll get a whole
insider juice.
Boom.
I like it.
Makeup and hairstyling.
Oh my god!
It bothers me that two
what
of these movies are anywhere near the words Academy Awards.
A Man Called Ove, Star Trek Beyond, and Suicide Squad. Come on!
Is there?
I don't even. I saw A Man Called Ove and I loved it.
Can you pass on
but
the
I
category?
Don't even, like, the guy that plays Ove is an old guy, but I guess they made him look a little older than he really is, or something. I don't even know why it's in the category. Maybe I just don't remember the movie right, but I just don't think the makeup and hairstyling was that big of a deal.
Those were the choices? That's all we had?
Yeah.
For 2016?
Three movies?
Yeah, for hair, makeup,
it
and
seems
and those
odd.
Three.
It seems like, I mean, Suicide Squad, is it because, you know, Killer Croc is a serious makeup job, I guess. And then, you know, they had to paint, what's her name, Margot Robbie's face. And, you know what I mean? I just don't think of it as a makeup movie. I mean, a lot of tats on that one guy, but
you could argue Doctor Strange should be there then.
I have
the
no
weird makeup in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I know.
I have no feeling about this other than it'll be really weird to call Suicide Squad or Star Trek Beyond an Oscar winner.
Yes, it will.
So that's why I just sort of am leaning towards A Man Called Ove, because it's such a good movie.
Right, you just think they're going to give it to the obscure foreign movie.
But
just
maybe less seen by everybody. Although, why would everybody see Suicide Squad? They're adults.
I go Star Trek for that reason. because I think Star Trek will and should win only because
a lot of green people running around, right?
Yeah, crazy, you know, a lot of prosthetics.
I wonder if it was nominated or won either of the previous two times the J.J. Abrams Star Trek.
I bet you it's been nominated.
Might have been.
I'm sure it was.
Also, no Star Wars movie in here either.
Right.
For makeup and hairstyling.
I know.
Well, because I think also that they probably sit there thinking a lot of it is CG, you know?
Yeah, I know. I would have put Rogue One in there.
Yeah, you got to, you know, 70s hairstyle. It's a period piece.
They always just do three in this category, which is like already admitting that it's going to be a stretch. So, man, yeah, this is tough. I'm going to go should for Ova. But will for Star Trek. I think you talked me into it, Graham.
All right. Chris?
I'm going to go A Man Called Ove for should and will.
Really? Ooh, Chris going double down on the should and will. All right, folks, let's get on up to visual effects. Deepwater Horizon, Doctor Strange, The Jungle Book, Kubo and the Two Strings, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Now, this is interesting. Like, The Jungle Book, were those visual effects or was it just an animated movie? You know,
well,
like where...
it's entirely visual effects because they shot the little boy on green screen and then added everything. So if anything, it's the probably the most complicated effects movie of the five.
Even though it's like
even though they're
5-10% live action, that's it.
Deepwater Horizon, that's out.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though I saw it on a plane the other day and was pretty entertained by it.
Good plane movie?
Yeah.
All right.
I thought it was real. You haven't seen it?
No.
It's very, it's like, it's got Peter Berg sort of like, Friday Night Lights kind of like naturalistic acting. Lots of good actors. Right. You know, Kurt Russell's got a big part in it. And, and Mark Wahlberg, you know, he apparently has to save the day and every real thing that ever happened. But,
and if there's plans.
But it's just a well-told, like, I didn't understand what they're talking about a lot of time. There's a lot of jargon about the rig and how it works and everything. John Malkovich is like the character, the typical disaster movie character that's the one saying, no, we got to go ahead. We can't do any more safety checks. Yeah. We got to save money for the company. And he does it with a funky accent. And so I found it pretty entertaining, but I don't see it beating these other movies.
You know, in that movie, there had to be a scene, no safety checks. I wonder what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
You know, Kurt Russell and Mark Wahlberg, their characters are standing around going, this is bad. You guys are terrible.
It's like,
and then, you know,
it's like every Vietnam movie where somebody goes, boy, after America wins this war, we're going to clean up. Oh boy. I don't know if that happens.
But, you know, Doctor Strange, it's hard to beat the visuals in that. That's pretty,
for me,
impressive.
I think it's a toss-up between Strange and Rogue One.
And you think Rogue One just because people, there's just enough fondness for Star Wars that...
And I also think in the marketing and the promotion of it, you just saw, like, the fighting on the beach. Like, we'd never, like, all that stuff.
Amazing effects.
Amazing effects. The planets and the Death Star in the background and all the exploration of kind of new worlds in the Star Wars universe, I think makes it bin. But I won't be surprised if Jungle Book or Doctor Strange win it, but I'm going to just go for me. And that's my favorite movie on this list. So I'm going to go will and should.
For Rogue?
Yeah. Rogue One.
Yeah. I'm starting to feel, and you know, this is the sort of thing where you can be completely wishy-washy. I'm going to commit all these to a actual like ballot at the Oscar party, wherever I end up. I'm going to commit to these now, even though there's still another week of speculation. Maybe I'll take more than one ballot if I change my mind on any of these, but I'm really sitting here thinking that of these five movies, I would think your average 60 or 70 year old, cause that's probably the average age of Academy members, would just find The Jungle Book to be the most charming. And therefore just be like, yeah, Jungle Book.
You know, I get that.
It was a big hit. They did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Kubo, I don't understand why an animated movie is in this category.
Yeah, well, I love Kubo, but I don't know. I don't get it.
Here's why. Because it's a stop motion animated movie, so it exists in the real world. And then they added visual effects on top of it.
Okay.
That's why.
It looks great, that movie. So that's also a possibility. I think the only one you can rule out is Deepwater Horizon. I just don't see him giving it to Explosions over.
I think it could be any of those four. Yeah, I agree. I think it could be any of those four.
Well, guys, you got to tell me which you will and should. We got to put some pen to paper.
I'm going Will Jungle Book.
Whoa, Doug Benson.
My should, don't even worry about it.
Whoa.
Doesn't matter.
A vague should?
I'm going to split.
Okay, I'll give Doctor Strange the should.
Oh, Dougie Strange.
I'm going to reverse Doug. I'm going to go Doctor Strange will, Jungle Book should.
Chris and Doug, flip a coin on Doc Strange and the Jungle Book. I go all in on Rogue One. Visual effects, lock it in.
Yeah, this is going to be, this is a category that's going to separate us.
Yeah.
This
only
is.
Only one of us will win in this category.
This is going to.
Or none of us.
Kubo's going to win.
Kubo slides in there.
Production design, the movies are...
I just think if they had gone and had three strings, it would be more likely to... They just skimped on the strings.
Spend the money. Production design, Arrival, Fantastic Beasts, Hail Caesar, La La Land, Passengers.
Now, I will say this category, very strong for production design. And you're looking at like, wow, so makeup and hairstyling couldn't figure out another...
Caesar couldn't get a nod for makeup or
production
something?
Production design, all these... As much as I didn't like Arrival, production design is amazing.
It's really cool.
And also, Hail Caesar was a kind of... We talked about that one at length while, you know, we had mixed feelings about it. Production design, again, is beautiful, old Hollywood. La La Land is great. Even Passengers, which I really didn't like as a film,
the
production design is amazing.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. And Fantastic Beasts, same comment as it was under here over costume design. You have to do a production design that has not only period, but also magic and hyper-realism. So I thought that is also strong.
I think La La Land cancels out Hail Caesar because they're both in that same sort of classic Hollywood style.
Yes.
And La La Land, as we've talked about, is watched. It's part of its sweep. I think if there is a place where somebody could upset a La La Land, it might be here with something like either Passengers or Arrival. But my heart,
Passengers leaves people so cold.
I know
that like to be excited about anything about it is hard.
Right.
I think you're right, and I think it just
nomination is as far as it's going to go.
Yeah, I mean shocked. I mean not shocked it got the nomination because the production design is spectacular, but it's you know.
Now, how angry are you if you're a production designer on, like, say, like Passengers, and like, look, I did my job, fellas.
Yeah, not my fault. Guys.
Well, I guess they should be excited to get the nomination. Yeah. You know, to at least production designers.
If only the movie around what I was building was better.
Yeah. If only more effort was put into the script. Right. Was put into my production side.
Well, that's where I think. You know, just in sheer walking out of there liking the movie, La La Land is more going to hit more buttons with more of the people. You know, it's been said before, I'm not saying anything new, but the Oscars love movies about movies.
Yes, right. Of course.
It just says how it is.
When I
said it, I do too. I watched La La Land the whole time going, I moved to LA
for this.
Just like these people, and I have a career, and it's exciting.
It's the most
exciting. It makes you feel good about what you've done with your life.
I love that depiction of Los Angeles. That the opening freeway scene that everyone's just dancing and going to an audition and shooting stuff and just like I love that depiction
and
of
saying things like I came here just cuz I knew I had to. You know?
Yeah, right.
And and also while we're here, we're living in a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It's sunny every day. Mm-hmm. So no matter how shitty your day goes,
that's always
the
nice.
Next day it's going to be sunny and you can go to a revival theater and watch Rebel Without a Cause.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not
or you
this
can
winter.
Go to the goddamn
no, it's true.
Place where they shot it.
We've all had any tough days either when we first got here or now, and then you walk outside and do something awesome and it's just like...
Just avoid the sinkholes.
Just and the floods. Yeah, I think you're right. I think La La Land is just going to clean that. It's my will and should.
I'm going to go La La Land will... Fantastic Beasts should.
Hey, you know what, Academy? This year, when La La Land keeps winning, don't play the same song every fucking time from the movie. You could play so many different things from that movie when the people are going up to accept. Why make it seem like, oh, God, that again?
City of Stars.
Yeah, every time.
Well, speaking of that, let's go to original song, City of Stars from La La Land. How Far I'll Go, Moana. Audition, The Fool Who Dreams from La 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 Land has two in there. Mm-hmm. The Empty Chair, Jim, the James Foley story. Can't Stop the Feeling, Trolls.
Ooh. Well, that Troll song was a hit on the radio because it's Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm. And that's another great music video, by the way. That's another, like, awesome depiction of L.A., the Justin Timberlake. Can't Stop This. Everyone's like Anna Kendrick's on the set.
It was his version of Happy.
Well, no, it's his, yeah, and it's also his La La Land because it shows everybody's, like, in a makeup chair on the set, the music studio, like, in a mansion.
But the number of people that appreciate Trolls or even think that that song really has anything to do with the movie Trolls, I mean, I haven't seen it, but isn't it just like an end title song, or do they actually run around singing the song at one point?
It actually, the movie incorporates music a little bit more than that, where it's like new songs, old songs, and so it's not incorporated like a real movie, but it is. But for an animated movie, it's like incorporated like a...
But he doesn't, Justin Timberlake's Troll doesn't sing it in the movie.
You know, I did zone out in a couple places in the film as I was watching with my children, so I don't remember. But I'm sure at some point
that's
he did
still
sing
one
it.
I have to see to complete the challenge,
because that was the part, the whole thing. Justin Timberlake's character, he's grumpy. He doesn't want to sing. Wonder what's gonna happen later. I'm gonna, as faulty as my memory is, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say he probably did sing the song somewhere in the movie.
It doesn't. I don't think it hurts with anybody that Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote the song in Moana. Like, it's almost like, boy, we'd really like to hear his acceptance speech this year, you know, and give him the EGOT. He will be Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony if he wins.
Yeah.
So he's the emotional choice, but then again, La La Land.
I mean, City of Stars is...
That's a total earworm. You can't get out of your head when you once you've heard it. And
earworm, like Wrath of Khan?
Yes. Yeah.
And but that audition song, that's my should win, but I think my will win is going to be City of Stars.
My should win is Can't Stop the Feeling, just because I love that song, and I put it on repeat. And might drive my girlfriend insane, but I could listen to that song over and over and over and over. My will win is City of Stars.
Okay. I'm going to go. I really, really like the song City of Stars. Now, I will say I do like a lot of these other songs as well. I do like Can't Stop the Feeling. And
none of us have heard actually, The Empty Chair from the James Foley Story.
And, no one ever will.
How Far I'll Go, I really like too. But
that's, you know, I bet that movie's quite.
And I will say, thing about Trolls. Trolls was a little more watchable than I thought it would be. So
except
it wasn't
when you were
like, except when I was zoning out. Yeah. Except for, like, it wasn't Angry Birds level. Actual. You could watch it. So I'm still going to go with, since I did enjoy La La Land and the music so much, I'm going to go with Shoot and Will, City of Stars.
Ooh, all right.
Doubling up.
Mm-hmm.
So, Doug, tell me again, you went audition as your should?
Yeah, and my will is City of Stars.
Okay. Original score, Justin Hurwitz, La La Land. Mika Levy, Jackie. Nicholas Britell, Moonlight. Volker Brittleman and Dustin O'Halloran, Lion. Thomas Newman, Passenger.
Yeah, how did Passenger sneak in there?
Well,
again?
Thomas Newman is like, you know,
he's one of those names.
Guys that just is so good that he's, you know, going to squeak in there.
It's there's Atwood, there's Newman, there's Meryl Streep. There's just certain names that, like, oh, they're going to get a nomination.
Mm. Is that how Randy Newman gets one on occasion?
Yeah, they split it up.
You know, if John Williams had done the score for Rogue One, maybe it would have gotten in there, but he just gets a, and also some of this music was written by this guy. Yeah. Some of these themes that we use repeatedly, but the score is by somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, La La Land's the only musical on the list.
Right.
Everybody loves it. How can that? How can that not happen?
I'd be surprised if it didn't.
Yeah,
cross the board.
I'm WS on that.
Yeah.
One.
Cross the board WS, right. Chris Graham Douglas.
Done.
Sound mixing.
And a special nod to the music in Jackie made the movie less entertaining for me. Not that the movie's supposed to be entertaining, because it's very sad throughout, but I thought the score was so dreary and brought it down. And I wrote that on Twitter, and somebody wrote back to me saying the score was the best thing in that movie. So maybe I'm wrong.
But was that a sarcastic? Well, best thing in the movie.
I don't know. It's just like, like no music from the time period. Like, didn't they walk by a somewhere where a radio was playing? It's just a
and
really
only just cello.
I mean, it's
music?
It's a really stylized movie considering it's a biopic. It's or biopic, as some people like to call them. But you know, to me, that was like great example of a one woman show where it's just all about Natalie Portman.
Right.
Which is why she might, we'll see. We'll get to that later.
Sound mixing, Arrival, Hacksaw Ridge, La La Land, Rogue One, 13 hours.
I swear they explain the difference between sound editing and sound mixing every year. They Oscar explain it to the viewers, and I still don't really have that firm of a grasp on it. Like, which, what's, how's it usually go, Chris? Like, what's, what kind of movie? Like, I know that there's a distinction.
The sound mixers, when you talk about these categories, whenever you talk to anybody in sound editing, they go, the loudest movie ever always wins.
Yeah.
So, but mixing is more of how you do the levels, whereas editing is like what you're dropping in and how the sound is.
Mixing is
together.
Also your.
Now that's a very simplistic explanation. Yeah. I'm sure that you get an audio it's guy so in here, it'll go for 30 minutes.
Mixing is also the mixing of the dialogue, the effects, the sound, the music, like everything that's happening. So
everything's already there and you're putting it all together.
Right. That's why it's usually, again, with this one, it's usually like a loud, big action movie because there's dialogue happening. There's explosions and there's music.
And war movies a lot of times.
That explains why 13 hours in Hex, 13 hours specifically is in mixing but not in editing.
Right.
Of the sound.
Because editing can just be dialogue and music, or you know what I mean? This is mixing the whole thing and what the sound mixer is deciding to. Well, I'm going to make whatever, these footsteps really loud in this quiet scene and you just hear birds. You know what I mean? It's stuff like that. So to me, it's gonna be either Rogue One or Hacksaw Ridge, is my guess. And this might be just the Hacksaw Ridge might be, as you were saying earlier, Doug, might, the only reason he that won't win is people might just go, Mel Gibson, no way. But that movie, if it was Mel Gibson without it, same film, I would go Hacksaw Ridge just because it's a war movie. So there's like, there's planes, there's smoke, there's guys screaming, there's gunshots in the background, there's stuff blowing up in the foreground.
Now, Arrival surprises me that it's in either of these categories because it's such a quiet film.
But that sometimes, that's where the sound mixing people are involved in the nomination because they went to Arrival and went, oh, shit. You know, because they know what's involved to make it that quiet. And the other thing that's interesting,
there's like a hum to it, isn't there?
Yeah.
When the aliens are around.
There's that little hum, and there's all these little sounds within the silence of that film, which is, in my opinion, a good sound mixing.
Right.
Okay. But you're an actor that got nominated once years ago.
Yeah.
And you get to pick now.
Yeah.
What's going to win. So I'm going, should Rogue One will La La Land.
Wow.
I just think it's just like, yeah, that's a musical that's got sound and they mixed it together.
There's tap dance. And
I'm going to vote for it.
You know, I'm going to go with should and will with Rogue One because I think it was a really elaborate mixing.
And you know, that could go in line with your loudest thing because it's certainly up there with 13 Hours and Hacksaw Ridge. Like Arrival and La La Land are pretty quiet by comparison.
I'm going to go...
But they're editing jazz.
I know.
Which is another interesting...
Yeah, it's not easy.
...aspect of it.
You know, musicals are not the easiest movies to edit in audio or visually.
I'm going Arrival should. I'm going La La Land will.
Whoa.
All right.
Sound editing. Arrival, Deepwater Horizon, Hacksaw Ridge, La La Land, Sully.
Oh, yeah. You've never heard the sound of birds hitting an engine. edited so beautifully.
That one, you know, this is the subtleties between.
Like, it's just, why are there five different things? I mean, why are there differences in these two categories? It's bizarre.
How about sound mixing and editing? We'll just have one.
Yeah.
I mean, also, isn't it?
Every sound designer listening to Griffin right now had a heart attack.
But I think there's also a crossover in the teams that do these things.
Of course there
are. I've seen the same people get up twice in a row on
these. There's a lot of people that literally do both.
Right. And half of these things are nominated in both.
Right.
Categories.
Yeah, but Deepwater Horizon's in the editing one, and it's full of explosions and loud noises. So it's interesting that.
Well, Rogue One dropped out of sound editing, too.
Yeah.
So
editing has less to do with lightsaber noises and stuff.
I'm going to go La La Land should and will.
Yeah, I have to do that too, I think.
I'm going to go Sully should.
Really?
La La Land will.
All right.
Ooh. You like that? Okay. Now we have foreign language film, Tori Edman, Germany, The Salesman, Iran, A Man Called Ovi, Sweden, Tana, Australia, and Land of Mine, Denmark.
I'm going to go with The Salesman because that's the one I've heard of.
That's why.
That's the one where the man who directed it will not be here to accept because he's boycotting because of the whole immigration ban.
Right.
That's why it's absolutely.
Then nobody's going to say anything.
Yeah. Someone's going to get up and say something.
You take the person that's presenting that award, they'll pick somebody that's.
Accepting on gonna, his behalf is this.
Oh,
activist.
Sachin Littlefeather.
Yes.
I don't think he'd send someone to accept on his behalf or even they would even pick somebody because he's making a point of just not being there.
I don't think after what happened after the,
what if it was the Iron Sheik?
Yeah.
He meant.
But what Meryl Streep did at the Golden Globes and what that did, I think Hollywood feels obligated to have some big fuck you Trump speech by somebody and they're going to maybe use this. Somebody else will too, but I mean this.
Yeah.
The fact that he's banned, he's not allowed to be here.
Well, I haven't seen. I've only seen one of these, but Land of Mine is playing in a theater in Los Angeles, so I'm going to try to see it this week. Tony Erdmann is a comedy from Germany that is 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
Wow,
that sounds hilarious!
And it's like a relationship comedy with, like, I guess, very slow building situations and stuff. The Salesman's from Iran. It's the same guy who I think he won for A Separation a few years ago, which was terrific.
And
so
I love the premise
I like
of this
his
movie
filmmaking.
Too.
Yeah,
where it's they're doing a play, Death of a Salesman, and then it bleeds over into their real life.
Yeah,
yeah, I think that sounds terrific. I saw A Man Called Ova. I really liked it a lot. And then I'm not particularly familiar with Tana, but that's interesting that a movie from Australia is
Man
a foreign language
Over.
Film.
Yeah, isn't Man Called Ova did also Makeup and Hairstyling nominated?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for I'm going Would and Should for Man Called Ova.
Oh.
I'm going Salesman Should and Will.
All right.
Because it's not right, but it's just the one that I saw and did like a great deal.
Documentary short, Extremis?
Extremis. Yeah, you're right.
4.1 miles. Joe's Violins. Watani, My Homeland, The White Helmets.
Two of these are available on Netflix. And they are Extremis, which is about several cases of people who are on life support and the doctors dealing with it and talking to the families about what they should do.
Wow.
So it's a lot of people sitting around going, do we unplug and just let nature take its course? Or do we, you know... It's heartbreaking because the children of people who are dying just want to keep them alive, regardless.
It's
you know?
Hard to watch.
And the doctors have to sit around going, they're not going to, they're like, well, it's a miracle that they're still alive, It's like, yes, but we take them off this machine. They will not be alive much longer. And so it's pretty depressing. And then The White Helmets is about...
people going in to help in the Syrian bombing.
And there is footage of, spoiler, but I just have to say it, of a baby being successfully pulled out of rubble.
Oh, my God.
So it is extremely intense.
I think...
and also of a time. It's very now that this shit is going on.
Right.
And
I think that's why it's my should and will, because I think that the political poignancy of it. And I think that's in both. And when we get into the features as well, I think Extremis, personal stories are great. But I think this year and in years past, but this year more than ever now, since the election, everyone's becoming an activist in some form or another. I think movies that have like global or national political relevance are going to get the wins. In my opinion.
Yeah, and I just, Watani, My Homeland, sounds like it might, fall under that. Who knows what these other ones are even, I haven't even read what they're about. Mm-hmm. This is not probably that helpful to people, but.
You've convinced me.
I'm going Will Should with White Helmets.
Me too. Just from what you guys have said.
Documentary feature, Fire at Sea, I Am Not Your Negro, Life Animated, OJ Made in America, 13th. I've seen three of these. I've seen I Am Not Your Negro, OJ Made in America, 13th. We heard it. We had a guest on. Nate Gauthen talked about Life Animated, and I don't know much about Fire at Sea.
Life Animated is terrific. It's about an autistic young man who he just ended up living a better life because they figured out that they figured out that showing him Disney cartoons
unlocked
Disney him. Animated features like opened him up and made him able to interact with people because of his love of them. And there's a scene where Gilbert Gottfried, who's the voice of the Iago. Bird in Aladdin, there's a scene where he, you know, Gilbert Gottfried shows up and and it's just extremely moving, and it's fun to see how excited the kid is to, you know, to meet the voice from the movie. And it's just, it's, you know, again, it's Hollywood kind of voting for itself. Like, yeah, our movies help someone with autism, you know. Then again, I Am Not Your Negro, extremely powerful. I saw that in a theater, and it's just rocks your world just in terms of, you know, how things have changed, but not nearly enough.
It's more what James Baldwin talks about in that movie from the 70s. Is more relevant today than when he said it, because America has just sort of put band-aids on things, and that's why in some ways there's been a little bit of progress, but in some ways it's worse than it's ever been.
So just the way he's allowed to speak on Dick Cavett is not happening on TV at all. Nobody gets to talk that way. Somebody's going to yell at you and argue with you if you speak that way.
Dick Cavett, it's amazing. Was a panel talk show.
And they're just sitting there smoking cigarettes and having like a very intelligent conversation, not a surface conversation.
And
about
I'm sure
race.
That was like between a juggler or whatever else Dick Cavett had on there. That could be a variety show or a late night talk show. Would be that kind of conversation where this brilliant poet and social activist is allowed to just talk at great length. It's fantastic. I know, to me, Fire at Sea, I haven't seen it, but it's about capturing life on the Italian island of Lampedusa, the front line of the European migrant crisis, just to tell you what that
was. So that's, you know, I'm sure that's, you know, got some power behind it. OJ, Made in America, is, you know, I don't know how they got it nominated. I guess they showed it in theaters for a week in New York and L.A., but I think
qualified
somebody run, I know, maybe Wayne run. Fetterman saw it, and, you know, you watch 4 hours, and then you take a little break, and then you watch four more. And I heard it's not there's not a minute too much of it.
No,
like
it's riveting.
You saw it?
I saw it.
How'd you see it?
I saw it at home.
Where can people see it?
I believe it's, I saw it on Netflix.
Oh, it is on Netflix.
Yeah.
Now, how long is it total?
It's about 8 hours or something. It's the, I think it was ESPN's 30 for 30 or whatever. That it's their series, so they...
So they must have done a qualifying run in movie theaters to get it. Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. People actually sat through it in theaters. But 13th is also on Netflix and is more of a...
shorter.
Much shorter. They may not even mention OJ, but it's a... But isn't it like a big picture look at civil rights?
Yeah, and what it is, too...
It's about specifically laws about the prison, how...
It's a far more traditionally structured documentary, like here kind of the history of the 13th Amendment and then how it was basically circumvented with prisons and jailing and, you know, where we are today. I really liked it. I thought it was a really good documentary.
Yeah, I'm very much interested in seeing that before next Sunday.
I'll say this. OJ, the three that I've seen, I'm Not Your Negro, OJ, and 13th, are all fantastic films. They all overlap a lot because it's about the race issue and America and the prison system and the militarization of police and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. For me... The most powerful one of them is I Am Not Your Negro. That's my should win. But as I said on this show, when we talked about it, I Am Not Your Negro is too... Why 13th will win, and it's a good movie and it deserves it, but why it will win over I Am Not Your Negro is because 13th is clear. It's like...
I Am Not Your Negro gives you stuff to think about. It doesn't tell you what to think at all, really.
No, it's and yeah, exactly. 13th is like, here's the problem. We need to rewrite these laws. There's this organization named ELEC, which is great. Give us a distinct thing. I Am Not Your Negro is like, hey, everyone, home alone at night, think about this. Like, this is why America, it's all on us. It's all our fault why America is so awful. We're disconnected. We're scared. We're this totally out of whack society. And this is how it's manifesting itself. And it's like, that's going to make some people uncomfortable and go, I don't want to deal with this.
Right.
13th, I know what I need to do.
Mm. And I think, won't go out on a limb here, but at some point, every one of these documentaries will make you feel a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. But how can Life Animated doesn't make you feel uncomfortable, but it, you know, it's just, after last year's Oscars So White, you know, it's just, it'd be an odd time to, it's a sweet movie. And
right.
It's important in its own way. But I think
probably not going to win.
I think just the fact that three movies that are essentially about race in America, that they're all nominated in the category, and the Fire at Sea, that sounds powerful as well. But I'm just going would and should on 13th.
Yeah, I'm going to go the same
without having seen it. But I am going to get it in there before.
It's on Netflix. It's worth seeing.
I really liked it.
And then watch the 30-minute interview with Ava DuVernay and Oprah after you watch it. That's also on Netflix.
Okay, cool.
Should and will, 13th for me.
All right.
Cinematography.
Arrival, La La Land, Lion, Moonlight, Silence.
You know, I'll tell you, I'm looking at this list. They're all good as far as cinematography goes, but I think the one that stands out the most for me is still La La Land because it just captured that feel and that look of Hollywood and like that kind of like Hollywood fairy tale. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that comes through in the cinematography, everything from, you know, the way the colors are presented and everything.
The movement of the camera.
Well, the guy the top Steadicam dude shot it, I think. Like, he's just a beast. Like, just the musical number on the freeway, if you're paying attention to what that guy had to do with a very heavy piece of equipment, it's hard to move around quickly. It's just, it's very, very impressive.
Plus also the shot composition. There's all these cool things in the background of all of these shots. Like all of these old jazz clubs in Chicago. It's such a tip, LA, it's such a tip of the hat to all these old jazz clubs, like the Fado Dough and all these places like that. So
after the music, the cinematography of La La Land is the second most important thing, I think, you know, just how it all looks, the whole Technicolor vibe.
So all three of us across the board go should will.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Now we are going to the next
original screenplay.
Original screenplay. Manchester by the Sea, Hell or High Water, La La Land, 20th Century Women, The Lobster.
Now, if we're going just by the word original, The Lobster, hands down.
Yeah,
it's such a weird,
most disturbing original.
But the way it was written,
and it had the same score as Jackie. Just very serious violins the whole time.
And also you feel like, too, there was such meticulous detail into creating this weird world. Like, nothing was left to chance, or no detail was, like, left not thought about. Everything from the facility they went to, what animal they would turn into, all of the allegories and metaphors about relationships, everything was just there in the script, so I'm going to go should and will with The Lobster.
Ooh, Chris with a should will.
Interesting.
I'm going to say this is where the sweeping stops for La La Land. I go Hell or High Water, Taylor Sheridan, because he carries some clout. And I think this is where, I think Hell or High Water should have received a bunch more nominations, in my opinion. I thought it was a really great film. But I think this is where La La Land gets a little upset.
I think if it's going to go to something that's not La La Land, I think that Kenneth Lonergan has a lot of respect. And Manchester by the Sea, as heavy as it is, like when I had been warned constantly about how heavy it is, when I finally watched it, there's a lot of, you know, it manages to be a lot of humor within such a heavy story.
And it works. It's not like out of place or
No, it's just totally, it works. It's all terrific. Sure. And that movie can't, you know, just because of how things are going with La La Land, I just don't see him winning director or picture. And, you know, we'll get to it in a second, but, I fear that Casey Affleck isn't necessarily a lock
Too much dirt on that young weirdo. I think that's...
No, I just think he's not a lock because, you know...
It affects the vote, for sure.
Because Denzel is just the greatest living actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's a tough one, but I thought he was really good, and I don't know. I'm sort of feeling... Say what you think, Chris, but I'm sort of feeling like that might be where they give him a little something is for screenplay.
So you're going to go should and will on screenplay?
I'm not going to say should. I'm going to think about it a little bit more. Oh Chris already spoke on the lobster.
I'm thinking the lobster is going to be the upset here.
Yeah. That's not completely out of the question because it is an insanely original movie. But in my feeling is it's a little too insane. I would have liked it to be reeled in a little bit and also feel more like it. Although in this world now, I guess maybe it could happen, but, I'm going to go, God, this is tough. Cause La La Land also, while this is a good place for the sweep to stop,
it's a very original.
There's a lot of ideas in it.
It's great.
A lot of, you know,
plus,
there's a lot of thought in it, even though it seems simple.
I want to see the announcers announce the screenwriters' names for The Lobster.
Ithmith?
It's Filippo.
Ithmith and Yorgos.
Yorgos Lathathemos.
Damn it, you guys. Doug, I'm going to go...
Doug, I need your decision. Doug Benson, who is your should?
I mean, when they're just flying down the list, marking things off, I just think La La Land is really hard to beat, but I'm going to go will and should for Manchester.
Wow.
All right.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Bold maneuver. La La Land first time it doesn't get any of our votes on any section.
Yeah, and it could be the sweep just holds, you know, especially because there's no, like we said, no supporting actor possibilities for La La Land.
Adapted screenplay, Lion by Luke Davis, Arrival by Eric Hessier, I don't know, Moonlight by Barry Jenkins, Hidden Figures by Theodore Melfi and Allison Schroeder. Fences by August Wilson.
Eric Hessier should have started by rewriting his own name so that we could pronounce it. We could pronounce it properly.
Wow. Lion is my best picture of the year.
Oh, you love that.
I loved Lion. But I think it's going to be, I think so Lion is my should, but I think August Wilson and Fences and the traction that August Wilson in this movie has been getting is going to get it, will win.
Hmm. I'm going to disagree.
Wow.
I'm going to go Hidden Figures, and the reason is is because I think Hidden Figures, more people saw it, and it got more into the consciousness more because it was PG, people saw it with families, and I really think more people
It was
saw
a big
it.
Hit.
It was a big hit.
It's very moving.
Yeah.
It's stunning that in, you know, so closely to our lifetimes, there were separate bathrooms and water fountains.
And you also never saw it in the frame of, like, science.
Just because,
like,
they were black. Also, like, why did it say, and Jews? Or,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I
like, racist people really concentrated on that one.
Yeah.
I know.
I just, like, the whole two water fountain things, it blows me away that somebody, it's like a state that doesn't want to celebrate Martin Luther King Day. It's like, why wouldn't you take a day off? And why would you want to have to build two fountains?
Right.
Two water fountains everywhere.
Yeah,
why are you building an extra fountain
for
people that you hate? Why not just say you can't drink?
Yeah,
you know? Right. Fuck you.
Yeah,
you know?
Now you have to buy another coffee
the
pot.
The whole thing, that racism is that deep and that horrible is stunning. And so, you know, unfortunately then a white guy played by Kevin Costner, he eliminates the bathroom rule, separate bathrooms, for expediency's sake. He's not doing it because he hates racism.
Right.
He's doing it because he's tired of the woman having to walk 20 minutes to go to the bathroom every day. He wants her there doing math.
Right. Didn't care about the two bathrooms before that.
No, it was not a concern of his. He was too busy trying to get a man on the moon.
Yeah.
So that movie is really, it's a big eye-opener, but I also felt that it you know, again, it, you know, it's the white man saving the day or whatever. It just felt a little... simplistic to me, but you're right, Chris. It's definitely one that moved people the most of these.
So,
but
Chris,
that,
that's your should,
that
will?
Should and will.
But I imagine that there's a rather strong gay contingent in the Academy, and Moonlight is really powerful in terms of, you know, just the approach they take to the gay aspect of the story. And Barry Jenkins is probably not going to win for director.
Right.
So I think that's where that's where this can win.
Hmm.
I think, you know, saying adapted screenplay, August Wilson's Fences, well, they just, you know, he didn't do anything. It's just they just kept the play. So he wrote a great play and then they filmed it. So I don't see that winning. So yeah, I'm going Will win Moonlight, and I'm going to give it both. I'm going to go Will Should for Moonlight. All right.
Doug Benson with a bold Will Should.
But Lion, I did enjoy a great deal, I got to say.
I loved it. Actress in a supporting role, Viola Davis Fences, Naomi Harris Moonlight, Nicole Kidman Lion, Octavia Spencer Hidden Figures, Michelle Williams Manchester by the Sea. I think this is Viola Davis. I think she just crushes this. I love Lion. Nicole Kidman's does a decent job, but she doesn't have the kind of, she has some great scenes in it, but the sort of powerhouse scenes that they're going to show that scene of Viola Davis crying, going, I've been sitting here the whole time with you or whatever. And it's like, that's it.
Well, when I saw Lion, I sort of went into it. I saw it before after the nominations came out, and I went into it like, yeah, they nominated Nicole Kidman, 'cause she's just Oscar bait. Like she just,
right.
If she's in something, she's got a good chance of getting nominated.
Right.
And, in that case, I thought it was one of the better performances she's given in a while. I think she's really good in it. I think she really disappears into that character. You really feel the love she has for her children. And but boy, just sidebar, that little boy in that movie.
Oh, God. He should have got a nomination. He was so amazing.
Incredible. Like, just the heart of that, it just really makes that movie just...
Those scenes where he's, like, on the street, scared, trying to eat, doesn't know what to do, who to trust, and there's some shots, some close-ups of just capturing this kid who's whatever, 6 or 7, living on the streets. They auditioned like 4,000 kids for that role. It's unbelievable.
He's amazing. I mean, the movie wouldn't work if the kid wasn't that good. And but anyway, so Nicole Kidman's great in that. Naomi Harris in Moonlight is like, when you see the real Naomi Harris, how she behaves and talks, you know, she's British,
right?
I think that's an incredible performance also. But the fact that Viola Davis is essentially a lead character in Fences, she's around through most of it. Like, it's very much on the fence whether or not she should be support or lead. So the fact that they put her in support,
it's not just a large cast in that movie.
It's a sneaky move to get her the win. Mm-hmm. And has she won before? Did she win for The Help?
I think so.
Because that could hurt her just a little bit. But they're all, you know, except for Naomi Harris, I believe they're all previous winners, right?
When did Michelle Williams win?
She's never won. She's certainly been nominated before.
Yeah, I don't know if she's won yet.
Yeah, she might not have won before. So it's a real... Michelle Williams, she's only got a few scenes, but boy,
they're powerful.
They're the most upsetting.
Yeah.
They're the most upsetting moments in the movie, and she's there just being so good.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing when you have the supporting role, like when you have... Michelle Williams as supporting, she's only in a few scenes, but they're powerful.
Casey Affleck said, you know, like he lived in that character for months, and she'd have to come on the set and just nail it in her few days that she was
actually
there.
Viola Davis has had 3 nominations but never won.
Boom. Will win. Should win.
I know.
Done. Dillage.
I agree.
She was nominated for Doubt, The Help, and now this one for Fences.
Very strong category.
We'll do our best to not hold Suicide Squad against her.
And she won. She won the Golden Globe this year for Fences.
Yeah. No, it's that's happening.
It's across the board. Should win.
Mm-hmm.
What was her hair nominated for Suicide Squad?
Yeah. Actress in a leading role: Emma Stone, La La Land; Natalie Portman, Jackie; Ruth Negga, Loving; Meryl Streep, Florence Foster Jenkins. Of course, she's court. Of course. Isabel Huppert, Ellie.
You know, I got to say, this is where I think La La Land will resume its sweep. I really think Emma Stone might win this. These are all strong performances for sure. I think Meryl Streep at some point she will win again, but I don't think it'll be this year.
Yeah, and she doesn't need to win again.
No.
Really. She gets nominated every
year. She got a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Globes.
Yeah.
And she gets nominated for doing it, and she's always, well, she didn't get nominated for Ricky and the Flash, did she?
I hope not.
I mean, she's just always amazing. But Ruth Negga and Meryl Streep, I think those are the only two you can absolutely rule out as not happening, especially because Isabelle Huppert, not only a long career that's, you know, with lots of praise, but Elle is, it's just, you know, she won, what'd she win? The Globes split up drama and comedy. And music. So Emma Stone won for comedy or musical, and Huppert won for drama. And she's quite good, and it would be a career. It just depends if they want to give it to the new girl, give a career award, or give another one to Natalie Portman for just continuing to be awesome and being the best thing about Jackie.
Right. I think it's still going to be Emma Stone.
I'm going should win. Isabelle Huppert will win Emma Stone. Because Emma Stone's always been great in everything that she does, and she's still only 26 or 28 or something, and the Academy loves that.
And so, Chris, you're going should will on Emma Stone?
Yep, should will Emma Stone.
I'm going to go should will on Emma Stone as well.
She's really good. I mean, you know, Gosling's not going to win.
Yeah.
Next category.
Actor in a supporting role, Marshala Ali, Moonlight, Jeff Bridges, Hell or High Water, Lucas Hedges, Manchester by the Sea, Dev Patel, Lion, Michael Shannon, Nocturnal Animals.
Michael Shannon is the shit. That guy is always great.
Yeah.
He's amazing. And he really, in that strange structure of Nocturnal Animals, it's so interesting how his character is the most interesting character in the movie, but in the context of the movie, he's a character written by one of the other characters. So that's wild. And that he didn't get nominated for a Golden Globe, but the other guy from Nocturnal Animals, it's very good. What's his name? Aaron Taylor Johnson from Kick-Ass, who he's British.
Right.
He's been hiding his accent in most of his performances,
right,
except for when he played John Lennon in that one movie. Mm-hmm. But that guy's always great. So it's just, it was weird that how that all went down, that he actually won the Golden Globe and then didn't get nominated for an Oscar. And as soon as he won the Golden Globe, the next day everyone was saying, but he's not going to get nominated by the Academy, and Michael Shannon is. Like, that's how strongly people felt about Michael Shannon, and it came true. But that being said, this is not going to be his year, I don't think. Ali, Marshala Ali. Because that guy, he is also he's very good in Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
And quite different.
Yes.
He's one of those guys that.
And
Luke
Cage, he's different too.
He's
great.
Oh, so I haven't seen Luke Cage.
Oh yeah, he's great in Luke Cage.
Oh, so he's an amazing actor.
Mm-hmm.
Overdue. You know, like a guy that, you know, heretofore unknown. I mean, Jeff Bridges, he just won a few years ago for The Crazy Heart.
He's good. I love him in Hell or High Water. I love Dev Patel in Lion. But
what do you think about that? Like, I've argued with people on the internet about whether or not that's a supporting role.
That's the thing. The kid overshadows him.
Yeah. So that's what makes it a supporting role, I guess, because he's on screen as much as the kid.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really good.
He's really good.
He's very different. Like, you know, he's in those hotel movies. What are those called?
Yeah.
The Marigold Hotel. Oh. And he's very high strung. He was very high strung on Newsroom, and so he's definitely got like different levels that he can play. So he'll be back in the game.
Oh yeah.
And this Lucas Hedges kid in Manchester by the Sea, I'm glad he got in there because he's terrific. But you just don't
he's not gonna win.
You just don't know if it's a fluke.
Right. Yeah, he's not going to
Flukas win. Hedges, yeah. I call him.
I don't get it.
Like, I thought the little kid in Lion should have got nominated over him. But he is good. So that's mine. My will should is Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, I got to go with Doug on this. Mahershala Ali for will and should.
He's just so like, he's only in that first section of the movie.
And he shines in it.
And it's just like, he's not the even the main character in that first section.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's just amazing acting. Like he would have fit in beautifully on the, that character would have fit in beautifully on The Wire.
Oh,
yeah, you know, where you're just like, you find him, it's just so compelling that he's clearly a bad guy, but then he's got this warm side with this kid.
Right. You just want to watch him. It's like,
dude, he's great in House of Cards.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, my God. You got to watch. He's great in House of Cards, and he's completely.
I'm a movie guy.
Yeah. you got to watch more stuff that he's in. so.
Yeah, I was really. That's the first thing I was aware of seeing him in. I'm sure I've seen him in stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because he's been around for a minute. So, okay, that's my
actor in a leading role. As we talked about, Casey Affleck, Manchester by the Sea, Andrew Garfield, Hacksaw Ridge, Ryan Gosling, La La Land, Viggo Mortensen, Captain Fantastic, and the winner, Denzel Washington.
Well, I'm certainly very, very happy for Viggo Mortensen. Like, from the second I saw Captain Fantastic, I was personally lobbying for the nomination to happen because he's great in it.
He is really good in it. The movie kind of falls a little flat around him, but he's really good.
Some of those one-on-one scenes, either with the kids and then when he's dealing with Frank Langella, the flashbacks with his wife, like those scenes, it's like Viggo Mortensen is one of these guys that's so sort of, he should be one of these guys that gets nominated every year for some big, giant, amazing role, but he kind of doesn't for whatever reason. And he's very much overlooked. I don't think he's going to win, but he
just
does.
Happy to see him there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And Ryan Gosling was so not only great in La La Land, but one of my favorite movies last year was the Nice Guys.
Yeah,
and I thought he was so funny in that. Like, he's just going to be a guy that's going to be back at the table. I think. Same with Andrew Garfield's great in both. I haven't seen Hacksaw Ridge, but you know they say he's great in it, and he's also very good in Silence.
There's something about Andrew Garfield. I recognize his ability, but I just can't get that on board with him sometimes. Like, there's always just...
Is it because he looks too much like Ben Schwartz?
I think that's it, for sure. Yeah, I mean...
A little subconscious.
He just sort of... I don't know. There's just parts of... I don't know, there's always some scene where I'm just like, eh.
But Casey Affleck's been winning everything. Like, even though Denzel Washington's been in the hunt, like, Casey always wins, so... Which way is it going to go, gentlemen?
Oscars are way too aware of the Oscar So White from last year, Denzel.
Right, but they're already going to give it to Viola Davis and Marsha Ali if they're thinking that way about, you know, trying to be, you know, more racially correct or fair or whatever. And Denzel has already won. Casey Affleck's been nominated before for the Tom Ford. What's that long title with? It was a Brad Pitt movie. The something something of somebody.
The something.
Remember
the Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Yes, that was it. So,
I don't know. This is a tough category.
He's been solid for Well, between those two, it's between those two.
You're starting to convince me. I was all Denzel, but now I'm thinking Denzel should.
Assassination
Casey will.
Jesse Jones and by the coward, whatever Johnny Jumbone or whatever.
What's the cat? Who's the coward?
I don't want to tell you.
What's his name?
Coward.
He plays the coward.
Yeah.
Right.
The assassination. Here it is. The assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to say Tom Ford. That movie director. Designer,
fashion designer.
Fascist
designer.
Okay, so I'm going should win Denzel, will win Casey Affleck.
Yeah, I wasn't leading that way, but now after hearing what you had to say, I agree now.
Plus
Denzel
the
should,
hubris
Casey
of directing
will.
Himself in Fences is also... should be noted.
I'm going with
That's hard to win. When you direct yourself.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know how often it's happened.
I'm going Viggo should.
Ah.
Denzel will.
All right.
Last two categories, ladies and gentlemen. Directing, Denis Villeneuve, Arrival. Mel Gibson, Hacksaw Ridge. Damien Chazelle, La La Land. Barry Jenkins, Moonlight. Kenneth Lonergan, Manchester by the Sea. Odd pick. There's so many other people I would have put in this category personally, but
well, Manchester by the Sea is such a performance movie, and this guy
it's an actor's
directed
movie,
it,
yeah.
And he got those performances, and you know, so I admire his work, but I, you know, I agree it's less directed than, you know, some of the other things that got left off. I thought Arrival popping into directing was more of a surprise.
That and Hacksaw Ridge, I was like, what's going on?
I mean, this automatically makes it so that, you know, it's highly unlikely that Hidden Figures or Lion, you know, the four movies that didn't get nominated for directing are less likely to win the Best Picture Award.
Right.
You know, even though it could happen because Hidden Figures is such a popular movie. But, you know, Mel Gibson, that's not going to happen. And, like I said,
I don't think Moonlight.
I think Barry Jenkins
either.
Is going to get screenplay for Moonlight, and then that's why I think it's. I'm going Wood and Should for Damien Chazelle, La La Land.
I don't know, Chris. What do you think?
I think Should Damien Chazelle, but I think it's going to be an upset, and it's going to be Kenneth Lonergan as Will, because I think. La La Land's going to win Best Picture, so they're going to give directing to someone else.
Which happens, but it's not. It's maybe 30% of the time.
Yeah.
Or even less, perhaps. I don't know the figures, but, you know, usually they go hand in hand. And didn't the WGA already give out their awards? I think they gave them out on Saturday night.
Yeah.
I think Patton was the MC. Can you just Google WGA winners and let's see what two things won, just out of curiosity. Because those tend to match up. The Producers Guild, whatever they give it to, tends to match up with Best Picture for the Academy. But I don't think the DGA has given that award out yet.
Ritzy, WGA winners full list from the HollywoodReporter.com. Let's see, here we go. Where's the full list? I don't want your article. Just tell me.
Goddamn pop-ups and shit.
Yeah. Just tell me.
Clickbait bullshit.
Screenplay was Moonlight. Arrival won adapted.
Shit. That's all we need to know, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Those are the main. Then they do TV and stuff. But so that adds an interesting wrinkle. So that's why I'm really happy I went with Barry Jenkins for the screenplay. But Arrival getting a screenplay original.
I think I'm going to.
That's interesting.
That's interesting. I think I'm going to go. Wow, this is just. There's somewhere.
But the DGA, when they give out theirs, which is before the Oscars but hasn't happened yet, I don't think. Maybe it has. You want to check? DGA almost always matches up with the Oscars, which makes it super easy to handicap director. But then, like you said, they could go a different way with picture.
Right.
They haven't happened yet.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
DGAs?
They have happened.
Happened already? And they probably gave it to Damien Chazelle, I would think.
Winners. No, wait a minute. It says February 3rd of 2017.
So,
what are you going
with? They're
going
to be handed out February 4th. So
they're out then.
I'm
yeah.
still going.
Just go with winner.
Yeah, I'm still going with director for Kenneth Lonergan, I think, will win, but Damien Chazelle should win, and I think La La Land should and will win Best Picture.
Oh.
Whoa. Damien Chazelle won.
There you go. So that's going to happen, but they could go another way with Picture and give it to, I would narrow it down to, you know, either Hidden Figures, Manchester by the Sea, or Moonlight. They could slide it to one of those, especially like we've been talking about how Hidden Figures is just such a perfect movie at this time.
Yeah, you know what?
So popular.
I think I might change my directing answer. I'm going to go Should and Will, Damien Chazelle.
Okay.
I'm taking out Kenneth Lonergan. Sorry, Kenny.
Yeah, I think that's why he could really squeak in with screenplay, or they could just think Casey Affleck's enough notice for that movie.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go Should and Will with Damien.
And then I'm going Should and Will with La La Land just because I love it so much. Like
for Best Picture.
Right. That was one of my top three favorite movies last year.
Same, yeah, La La Land, Should and Will.
I'm gonna change it up because this is where
can happen.
This is where they can get
especially with these nine pictures nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read them all? The Best Picture nominees?
Best Picture: Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. I'm gonna go a Should Will on Lion.
Oh, okay.
I think Lion makes the crazy sneak in, and
I think movies that begin through with the letters O through Z really got snubbed this year.
Yeah, they sure did.
Like, all the Best Picture nominees are in the first half of the alphabet.
You got three H's, two L's, two M's.
All right, guys, that's our show.
Wow.
We did it.
Supersize.
I think I'm going to be live tweeting this.
That's the thing to do. Yeah.
Last year we did a whole thing with Rabble TV. They paid us to do this live thing, which was really cool. You guys interacted, but I think Rabble's out of business.
Yeah, we haven't seen
it. We went to their website and it's not working. So you guys, some of you were asking, are we going to do some live thing? I don't
probably see. Do some tweeting.
We'll just do tweet during the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to tweet the hell out of it. My new show, The High Court, debuts on Comedy Central the following night, Monday the 28th at midnight, after at midnight.
Ah, cool.
I'm in the midnight slot, Chris.
Excellent.
Formerly held by midnight, which is now at 11:30.
Perfect.
So it's not confusing at all for my stoner fan base.
What's The High Court?
The High Court is it's basically like Judge Judy, but I'm the judge, and me and the guest bailiffs, who are, you know, stoner comedians, we get high while we deliberate. Like, you see the deliberation.
What kind of cases are you guys?
They're
gonna be
real small claims cases. We pull from the same pool
as Judge Judy.
Cases as all the, you know, Joe Brown and mm-hmm. Hot Bench. There's a show called Hot Bench, and it's really straight up just like those shows, but with the element of the judge is very high. And so that debuts the day after the Oscars. So all of my Oscar tweets, I'm going to just include hashtag the High Court, just to, because a lot of people read my Oscar tweets. So I like to promote it that way. And and other than that, DougLovesMovies.com for all my stuff.
Sweet.
Cool. Check out Doug and Earbuds.
Check out Doug and Earbuds, and where he has one of my favorite funnier lines in the film.
Yes.
You gotta watch it to see.
Oh shit!
Earbuds, you guys. I will also be headlining the Skyline in Comedy Cafe in Appleton, Wisconsin, March 17th and 18th, and we am doing a tour through Oahu and the Big Island of Hawaii, March 22nd through the 26th. The specifics I'll post later, and of course, Comedy Film Nuts. nerds.com, my YouTube channel, Political Vigilante. I'm releasing videos every day ranting and raving about what's going on in the world.
How many episodes a week are you releasing?
10 to 12.
Wow.
Two a day most days, and one on, like, I try to do Monday through Friday, two a day Monday through
Jesus.
Friday. Doug Benson, big winner. One Friday.
That Wednesday. Was my I gotta go alarm, because I'm running around promoting this thing everywhere. And so I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Anyway, yeah, I do at least 10 to 12 a week.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, every day.
All right, so check it out, Graham's YouTube channel.
And people can already start signing up for the podcast festival.
Los Angeles Podcast. We put tickets on sale. It's October 6th through the 8th. Mm-hmm. It is at the Biltmore Hotel downtown. Mm-hmm. New venue. It's awesome.
I love it. I love downtown. It's so fun for
people
that live here or from out of town. You know,
it's
nobody lives here
hotel,
goes downtown
too.
That much. So it's a great chance to just go down there, be in a hotel, check out all the other things you want to do downtown, or just go podcast nuts.
You're
all weekend.
A block and a two blocks away from the metro station, so you can take the train in there. There's all this shit to do downtown: bars, restaurants. The hotel rooms start at $188 a night. Last year they were $209, so that's already $20 cheaper. There's only 250 rooms available because there's a doctor convention. So if you don't get on the cheap rooms, you miss out. So go.
But if you're a doctor at the convention and you also want to have some fun with us,
you're all set. You already have a room. Yeah. Just gotta buy your pass.
So Doug, you're doing it.
Well, I got my toes in the water. I'm fairly committed to it, and you definitely gotta, you know, set me up with a room there because I would like to just stay and hang downtown and hang out with everybody because that's one of my favorite aspects of the festival is that we all are in the same hotel together
and hang out.
It's just a real up close and personal experience, which you could also see more about and learn more about if you watch the Earbuds documentary.
Well, the great thing about the Biltmore is there's all these places to just hang out on top of the things and events we'll be doing. So go to lapodfest.com, comedyfilmnerds.com, youtube.com/Graham Elwood. Thank you, Doug Benson, for being on the program.
Thank you. I'll see you guys in a year.
Godspeed. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.